The 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Authorized versions of the Holy Scriptures are before you in the pew. Make use of them. They're there for your use and edification. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us remember that this portion of Scripture was written many, many hundreds of years before Calvary. And yet it was all written in the past tense. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, because there's no uncertainty with Jesus Christ. It must happen. It did happen. And we know it happened, for it's applied to our heart and soul and mind. And they tell us the Bible's not inspired. And they tell us you can't trust it. I'd rather trust the old book than the philosophies and philosophers of mankind. I'd rather put my faith in the Word of God than in the word of one of these educated Egypts that are so prominent today. Thank God for God's precious Word. A very warm and cordial welcome to all who are visiting with us. We bid you welcome in the Savior's name. The aunt of our sister, Mrs. Brown, passed on to be with the Savior, and we'd like to express to the Brown family our sincere sympathy, the assurance of our love, and of our prayers. Let us pray. Lord, we commit the sorrowing to Thee. We thank Thee that this died in the true faith of the gospel. She's with Christ, which is far better. We pray that You'd comfort the sorrowing loved ones. Help them to learn the lesson that death comes to us all, and we need to be ready when that call comes. Now, Lord, help me to preach this night. To this end I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. My subject this evening is a most solemn one. I want to speak upon unparalleled and unpreachable sorrow. I use the terms deliberately, for the sorrow of which I would speak has no parallel in time and has no parallel in eternity. And it is unpreachable because no one, even with angelic eloquence, could really describe or intimate or expound what this sorrow really was like. Lamentations, the lamentations of Jeremiah the prophet at the chapter 1 and at the verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. From above hath He sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by His hand. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? I want to dwell on this sorrow tonight in three ways. This sorrow is a sorrow that challenges all comparison. This sorrow is a sorrow that concentrates all condemnation. And this sorrow is a sorrow that commands all contrition. A sorrow that challenges all comparison. A sorrow that concentrates all condemnation. And a sorrow that commands all contrition. There was never a prince so loyal. So were they of deathless fame. There was never a friend so loyal. Such an ocean of love in his name. There were never such springs of sweetness, such streams of ineffable bliss, such powers of holy meekness as welled in that heart of his, which moved his hands in kindness, overflowing his lips with grace, impelling his feet to mercy, and suffusing with love his face. Yet never a fiend did fathom such measureless depths of shame, and never the vilest traitor did bear such a burden of blame. There were never such rivers of sorrow. There were never such floods of grief as flowed from the hearts of sinners into his for their relief. And where is the heart so hardened? And who is so vile as he, who beholdeth the Savior suffer and saith, it is nothing to me. Behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? This sorrow, mother heart really beat with anguish. Yes, friend, those tears were real tears. That was real anguish. That was real sorrow. But it was the sorrow of a child. Her position was that of a child. I stood one day in a burying ground. There was a big man there. And he was looking into an open grave. And the darling of his bosom, his beloved partner, was in the coffin in that grave. And he had a little curly-headed boy standing on one side of him, and a little long-haired lassie on the other. And he put his big hand on the head of the little boy. And he put his other hand on the head of his little girl. And that man wept. His whole bosom heaved. His whole heart was broken. And tears that were salty and briny poured down his cheeks. And he would not be comforted. He could not be solaced, for that child was now a motherless boy and a motherless girl, and he was left bereft of his wife. That was the sorrow of a man. And my friend, there is a distance between the sorrow of a child and the sorrow of a man. There's a distance between the tears of a child and the tears of a man. There's a distance between the grief of a child and the grief of a man. But I have climbed a lonely hill crag called Calvary. I have stood under the shadow of the old cross of Sheol. I've looked at that body of the Son of God as the vice of judgment fastened upon it. I've heard the lash, not of Pilate's judgment hall, but the lash of God's wrath descend upon that precious, innocent, spotless, harmless Lamb of God. And I've heard a shriek from that cross, and that shriek rent the heavens and rent my heart. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I saw his tears. I saw more than tears. I saw blood sweat. I saw more than blood sweat. I saw blood streaming. I saw more than blood streaming. I saw blood in rivers. And as I stood there, I said, this is not the sorrow of a child. This is not the sorrow of a man. This is the sorrow of God. The sorrow of God. God in anguish. It's unthinkable, but it's true. God suffering. It's unthinkable, but it's true. God in bitterness. It's unthinkable, but it's true. God dying. It's unthinkable, but it's true. Behold and see if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow. That's the position. That's why I say to you tonight, this challenges all comparison, for none was in a position like the Son of God. But what about the condition? Christ is an innocent sufferer. He's innocent. Christ is faultless. Christ is crimeless. Christ is flawless. Christ is harmless. Christ is spotless. Christ is stainless. And Christ is sinless. Sinful man must die, and he deserves to die. Spotted man must suffer, and he must suffer and deserves it. Man stained and scarred with sin must pay the price of his ill deeds in his body and in his soul. But what shall I say of the pure one? What shall I say of the holy one? What shall I say of the spotless one who on Calvary showed himself to be the man of sorrows, the one acquainted with grief? I say to you tonight, it challenges all comparison. But secondly, this sorrow concentrates all condemnation. It is the conjunction of all griefs. It is the combination of all evil. Here we have judgment so deep that there cannot be any deeper judgment. Here we have anguish so great that there cannot be any greater anguish. Here we have sorrow so broad that there cannot be any broader sorrow. Here we have a suffering that is so long that it outstretches the very measurement of God Almighty Himself. When we approach this mysterious holiest of all, we must remember one thing. We must keep it before our mind always, that all Christ's sorrows were voluntarily undertaken. He didn't need to die. He didn't need to grieve. He didn't need to bleed. He didn't need to be sorrowful. He didn't need to hang upon a cross. He didn't need to be shamed and blasphemed and despised and rejected of men. He didn't need to be wounded and bruised and battered and torn. He didn't need it. But he was. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. All men must die, but Jesus needed not to die. But yet he voluntarily chose to die for you and for me. I have read this scripture many times, but this past few days as I read it again, I saw something in it that I had never noted before. I noted here the seven ingredients of the sorrow of Christ. What made up this sorrow? He tells us. He says, first of all, from above, hath he sent fire into my bones. The sorrow of Christ was a concentration of painfulness. Painfulness. The fire in his bones. There are fires that men kindle that are hot. There's a fire in hell that is hotter still. But the hottest fire ever kindled was the fire that fell on the blessed Son of God in the woe and in the griefs of the cross. You say, surely hell's fire cannot be matched. Yes, it can. Because hell's fire is spread over unending eons of eternity. But this fire was concentrated in three brief hours. Here was a furnace that blazed. Here was a fire that burned. Here was a flame unparalleled in time, unparalleled in eternity. A flame that will never burn again as it burned at the cross. And Jesus said, note it carefully, he sent fire into my bones. No, he said from above. This was a heaven's kindling. It wasn't from beneath that it came. This was a special fire. A special fire created by God for the punishment of the one who became sin personified for you and for me. He was made sin for us. And so God had to pour upon him a special fire. From above, he sent his fire into my bones. How terrible that flame. That was a concentration of painfulness. And I couldn't describe to you the pain that Jesus had on Calvary. Now, I've seen people in pain. I started to preach the gospel when I was a little over 14 years of age. And I've been going at it for 50 years now. And let me tell you, friend, I've seen people suffer. I've seen accident cases. I've seen terrible suffering. I've seen awful tragedies. And I have seen mental anguish that even were couldn't be paralleled by bodily suffering. But let me tell you, here is painfulness that cannot be described. And you know what he cries out as he's baptized with this painfulness? Behold, look at me! Look at me! Look at me! There's no sorrow of painfulness like my sorrow. Secondly, destructiveness. What does he say? He says it prevailed against them. This fire was a destroying fire. Christ had a sorrow of destructiveness. He saw his body being destroyed. Turn over to Psalm 22, and you'll see the destruction of his body as he cries out on the cross and sees that flame within his bones, a mighty conflagration destroying his whole body. And he cries out, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised of the people. And he goes on, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Behold and see if there's any sorrow like the sorrow of my destructiveness. Add to painfulness destructiveness. But look again. And what does he say? He says he has spread a net for my feet. Here we have Christ's helplessness. He couldn't do anything about it. He saw the net. He saw it entangling his feet. He knew that he must fall into the dark cavern and abyss of death. And they cried out, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. But he had bound himself with a holy oath in eternity that he would not come down. And there was one thing in their lying. They told the truth. They cried out, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. But it's true. He couldn't save himself if he was going to save others. He must die if you're going to live. He must endure this anguish if you're going to live. So you can add to the painfulness, destructiveness, and add to the destructiveness, helplessness. And then he cries out, he hath turned me back. And he came to God, and God turned him back. God said, turn around and go down into the darkness. Turn around and go down into the land of forgetfulness. Turn your back and I will bruise you. Turn your back and I will smite you. Turn your back and I will punish you. Oh, the bitterness of the pure, spotless soul of God's spotless Lamb when He says, He turned me back. Never before did the Father turn Him back. Never before did the Father turn Him back. But now, for rebel sinners, for a guilty world, for man unclean, for lepers of the pit, God turns Him back. So you can add to the painfulness, destructiveness, and to the destructiveness, you can add helplessness, and to the helplessness you can add bitterness. And He says to you tonight, behold and see my painfulness. Behold and see my destructiveness. Behold and see my helplessness. Behold and see my bitterness. And then look again. And what does He say? He says, "Ye have made me desolate." There's His lonesomeness, His loneliness. He's lonely. How lonely was Jesus on the cross? I'll tell you how lonely He was. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You couldn't get any more loneliness than that. A lonely Christ, isolated, separated, desolated upon the tree. This is sorrow. This is the sorrow of God that I'm talking about tonight. When He says, behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? And look again, and you'll find something else. Only the Holy Spirit would dare to write it. He hath made me desolate, His loneliness, and faint all of the day. There's His weakness. The Apostle Paul wrote He was crucified through weakness. Only the Holy Ghost would dare to write those words. And did you notice? It was the day of God's fierce anger, verse 12. And all that day He was faint. Weakness! If I had only strength, I could bear it. But I am weak. This load is crushing me. This anguish is crushing me. Thy waves and Thy billows are passing over me, O God. And He cries out, behold and see if there's any sorrow like unto my sorrow. So you can add to His painfulness, destructiveness, and to destructiveness, helplessness. And to helplessness, bitterness. And to bitterness, loneliness. And to loneliness, weakness. And then, worse of all, He says, the yoke of my transgressions is bound by His hand. What does that mean? That's His heaviness. But He had no transgression. But He had your transgressions. And God with His own hand bound your transgressions to Him, and they became His. He was wounded for our transgressions. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And oh, He was heavy. Go back to the Gospels when you go home. And read how in the garden He became very heavy. What did that mean? There was upon Him a crushing load. We were singing it tonight. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. And He suffered. And He died alone. But I must finish. There we have the fact that this sorrow concentrates all condemnation. challenges all comparison, but it commands all contrition. I want to ask you a question tonight. Can you stand at the cross with a hard heart? Can you stand at the cross and view these sorrows and not be moved? Can you stand at the cross and still cling to the sin that weaved that crown of thorns and plaited it to put upon his brow, took the nails and put them through his hands and his feet? Can you? Have you got a hardened heart tonight? Or do you not feel the command for contrition? Can you view that cross without a tear? Can you view that suffering without a shriek of sorrow in your soul that you were responsible for it? That your sins put him to the tree? That your sins caused his grief and his agony and his pangs? Oh, my friend, tonight, this cross commands, this sorrow commands our contrition. How can we love the thing that so smote our Savior? How can we embrace the filth that put that sorrow upon him? How can we play with the fire that burned him so grievously upon that cross? How can you love the thing that brought such dishonor to the fair body of the Savior? That's the great question we need to ask ourselves. As I love sin, so I hate Christ. As I hate sin, so I love Christ. Now just test yourself. What do you choose? Sin or the Savior? When temptations come this week, what choice will you make? Will you hug the sin, or will you kick it beneath your feet and embrace the Son of God? Behold and see if there's any sorrow like unto my sorrow. O child of God, this night resolve within your heart that this accursed thing will no longer reign within your soul, that you will seek that deliverance from sin and every bit of worldliness that did such damage to the body of God's Christ. And dear sinner, let go of sin, for if you don't let go of sin, it will not let go of you, but will drag you down to the deepest hell. And then even though Christ suffered, and even although he shed his blood, and even although he bore such agony and pain, you will have done despite to the Spirit of God. You will have trampled underfoot the blood of and a reprobate's grave and a reprobate's death and a reprobate's hell will be yours forever. May God help us at the cross to have done with the accursed aching of our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We are speechless in thy presence. What can we say? Give us a holy hatred for sin, and give us a holy love for Jesus. Amen.